All right, how are y'all doing? It's good to be here from Florida, Texas. Yeah, I appreciate that. Now listen, before I started, I was sitting up here thinking about what I was going to say, and I was also listening to you guys talking and having a good time, and that's great. The only problem is you're going to have to continue that, okay? So I'm going to teach, but you guys have got to participate and help me out. If you don't, we're going to be in here for an hour. Yeah, so hopefully you all will help me out. My topic is submission, values of valor. We're going to talk about submission and some of what that entails. Why should we do it? Who should we submit to? But let's go ahead and start with this. I want to set this up with some ideas from you, okay? And so you've heard a few lessons this week about retaliation, some lessons from Luke, I believe. When you see this word submission, help me out. What is that? What does it mean to submit? What is submission? Okay, put yourself under somebody.
Humility.
Humility, all right, that's a big word. What is humility?
Humble.
Oh, that helps, all right. Humility. Humility, humble, that's right. Yeah, anything else? That's good, though, humble. What is humble? Somebody said, humble is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. So it's not that, hey, I'm nothing, I'm this humble nobody. It's just, hey, I want to help other people, I want to be about that. Okay, submission, anything else? One at a time.
To obey.
Obey, okay, submission involves obedience, so to obey. All right, yeah, all of these are good. In fact, whoever said this one, it was you, this is actually in the New Testament. That's the Greek definition for submission. It is to be put under somebody else. It means to, this is the standard, and I am underneath this person. So I want to do exactly what they say. Now, there are different people we need to submit to, different times when we need to submit, and I'll talk about some of that as we go. But now I want to, I guess I can just put it over here, at least for now. And I'm watching my time, so just bear with me. All right. Why is it hard to submit? Or question, let's do it this way first. Show of hands of anybody who ever struggles with submission. That is, putting under, humility, obey, anybody? I know we got some people don't struggle at all. Okay, so we got some of you. All right, so why do you struggle with it, though? Because I'm in this camp, too, struggle with submission. Why do you struggle with humility, being under somebody, and obeying? Why is that difficult? Ego, I want to do it my way. Okay, let's put an asterisk by that. We're going to talk about my way in a minute. I want to do it my way. Ego, what is ego? Depending on how you pronounce that, that could be ego, right? Let go of my ego. You remember that? That might not be, but y'all seen those commercials? Okay, good. All right. So what is that ego? What is ego?
Pride.
Pride, yeah, pride. I think I'm right about everything. Okay. Any other reasons why we struggle with submission? We don't trust. Okay, so two asterisks. Don't let me forget. The first one is my way, and then we don't trust. Okay, turn your Bible to Proverbs 14:12. Proverbs 14:12. I don't see your name tag, so I'm just going to call on people to read, okay? Instead of quoting these verses, you all are going to help me out some. Remember, we had that arrangement. If you don't help me, what's the consequence again?
An hour.
Yeah, an hour. All right, so Proverbs 14:12. Can you read that? What's your name?
Timothy?
Perfect, Timothy. Okay, Proverbs 14:12. And then Caleb, if you could get me Proverbs 16:25. Yeah, so Proverbs 14:12 and then Proverbs 16:25.
There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
All right, and 16:25.
There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death.
All right, so there is a way that seems right. And it might even feel right, and it might even look right, but it ends in the ways of death. Both of those verses in Proverbs teach the same idea. Throughout the book of Proverbs, there's this idea, by the way, of listen to father and mother, don't despise what your parents have taught you, do the right thing and all of that. But there's a way that looks right. It seems like, hey, this is the better path, and if I want to do my own thing and do it my own way, then surely I would just cast that aside. And you might be going along this way, and you might say, you know what? See, they told me this was going to be so bad, and I've jumped into this lifestyle or in this lane, and it's really not so bad after all. They've deceived me, and it seems right and looks right, but in the end, what does it lead to? Death. And it might not be physical death, but it could be spiritual, other consequences, and so doing it my own way isn't always the right thing. All right, somebody else want to read another verse? I got a volunteer. Okay, Judges 17:6. Judges 17:6. And who else wants to read? Can I get somebody else? And Judges 21:25. So 17:6 and 21:25.
Judges
Okay, in 21:25, we don't have to read it. It says the same thing. There was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And the book of Judges, if you know anything about the book of Judges, what type of lifestyle or what was the climate in the days of Judges? Anybody know what was going on in the days of Judges? Good days or bad days for God's people in the days of Judges? Very bad days. The darkest days in Israel's history were in the days of Judges when everybody did what was right in their own eyes. So we struggle with submission because we want to do our own thing, but sometimes that leads to death. And when everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes, there is total chaos, anarchy, and everything's out of control. And so while we would like to be free from restraint and do our own thing, it's not often in our best interest. They wanted to do what was right in their own eyes, and there was murder and death and just total chaos during the days of the Judges. And so we by nature need to be people that are guided. And who needs to guide us in all of this? Who do we really need to be under and be humble before and be sure that we obey? God. And that's the easy answer. But you and I can't see God in the flesh, right? You've never seen God. The Bible says in John 1:18, nobody has. And so God has put people in our lives, though, that we need to obey. And in obeying and submitting to those folks, that's how we show our appreciation to God. And I'm going to show you some of that in a moment. But let's deal with the second thing that I said I wanted to sort of put an asterisk by. And that was sometimes we fail to submit. Why? What was it again? We don't trust. Now, let me go to 1 Samuel chapter 8. And I'm going to do, anybody in here like math? Yeah, I thought so. Everybody, right? Show of hands, you like math? All right, great. Boo, boo. Okay. We're going to do some math, okay? This is going to be an easy problem. All right. I think this is right. Dismissal. I think that's how you spell dismissal, but I'm not sure. Somebody spell check me. Anyway, what I want to say about this idea about submission is this. Disappointment plus distrust does not equal dismissal. And what I mean by that is this. Sometimes we don't trust the people we're submitting to. So you say, hey, look, I've done this before and I've obeyed. You just put in whatever you want in the blank. Maybe a teacher or a parent or a Bible class teacher or, since we've got varying ages in here, a spouse or whatever it might be. You say, I've done that before. I didn't like the way this turned out. I'm disappointed. Now I don't trust the system. I don't trust this whole submission thing. I put my faith in a youth minister, a preacher, and that really turned out bad. Maybe even a friend or somebody in authority over me. And that distrust led to disappointment. And now I just want to dismiss authority altogether. I don't want to do what anybody has to say. That doesn't work in the Bible. And 1 Samuel 8 is one occasion. So in 1 Samuel 8, they come to Samuel. It says about verse 4, the elders of Ramah came to Samuel and said, behold, you're old. Your sons walk not in your ways. Make us a king that we might be like the nations round about us. And they want a king. And Samuel's having a hard time with this because Samuel's point is they already have a king over them. Who is that king? God's their king, but they don't want God anymore. And they're disappointed because some of the judges and the other people that have ruled before them have disappointed them. There's distrust. We don't know what's going to happen with Samuel's sons. And now there's a total dismissal of authority. And so distrust and disappointment doesn't equal dismissal. God eventually tells Samuel, just give the people what they want. If they want a king, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. And let's see how this turns out for them. It did not turn out good for them. And so sometimes we struggle with submission because we don't trust the people that are really in charge. But in the end, it's not about the people that are in charge. It's about the God that's put those people over us in different places. And we need to submit because of what God said. All right. Now, I want to talk about, I'm going to try to go through this as brief as I can. I want to talk about God and why we need to submit to him. And what does God have to do with our submission to others? And then I want to talk about the areas in which we need to submit. So there are specific areas. Who needs to submit? Who needs to be involved with that? And then we'll quit. So if we end up quitting early, then so be it. All right. God's the one in charge. That's what I want you to remember. I'm going to give you some verses, and we're not going to turn to them, but you can read these later. But God rules the entire world. God's the one in charge. Romans 13 and verse 1 says, there is no power except the power that comes from God. Psalm 66 and verse 7 says, he rules by his power forever. God rules in the kingdoms of men, Daniel 4:25. And so God is the one that is truly in control of the universe. And what we think about submission is ultimately telling about what we think about the God who's in charge of the universe. There's a way that seems right, feels right, looks right. And when we say, this was sort of talked about last night in the lesson, when we say we want to do it our way, we're basically saying to God, I'm smarter than you. Show of hands, anybody smarter than God? Come on, here's your chance. Nobody? Yeah, that's right. You know, there were people in the Bible who thought they knew better than God. Job, on one occasion when Job was suffering, Job was frustrated with his circumstances. He wanted to take God to court. Throughout the book, he's saying, if I just get my opportunity, I can present my case before God. And then in Job 42, 5 and 6, Job says, I've heard of you, but now I've seen you, and I repent for the things I've said, and I realize that God's always right about things, and I'm not. And so God has put certain people in our lives, and he said, now I want you to listen to what they have to say and obey them, and don't try to do things your own way, because you are not always right. All right, now let's go through this. Who needs to submit? Whose responsibility is it to submit? I know this is a youth session and a youth track, but just tell me, who needs to submit?
Us.
It was us. Us, young people, you're saying?
Everyone.
Okay, young people. Everybody. Anybody else need to be worried about submission? Like, give me the specific group. So do kids need to submit? Yes. All right. Kids need to submit. We'll talk about that. Who else? So children, young people.
The church.
The church submits to who?
God.
Okay. The church submits to God. Yeah. What's the name of this congregation?
University. Church.
University. Okay. That's not as important as the last half of that. University, Church of That Church of Christ, that's the description. That means we belong to Christ. So we submit to Jesus. Every congregation that identifies itself that way. I preach for the South Florida Avenue. That's not the important part. Church of Christ. We claim to be people that are of Christ. We belong to him, and we show that. Just because the sign says that doesn't necessarily prove it. You can tell whether or not we're a church of Christ, whether or not we submit and do what Jesus has said. So young people need to submit. The church needs to submit. Anybody else? Who said spouses? Yes, spouses, grown-ups, everybody. What I want to show you as we go through these passages on submission is every time you see submission in the Bible, it'll either be before in the same verse or right after that, there's going to be something said about God, because your ability to submit and my ability to submit, or our inability to submit, that is, if we're not that good at submitting, it says more about our relationship to God than we might think. Every time you read about, okay, now this person's in charge, do what they say, it's not just because of who they are. It's always followed up with, because God wants you to do this, or this is in response to God. And so when we say about anybody who's in authority over us or who we're supposed to submit to, I really don't want to listen to them. Or, okay, I like this Bible class teacher, I'll submit to them, but I don't really like this one. Or this elder, me and him are pretty cool, but me and this one, we really aren't. Or whatever the case might be, we're saying something about our relationship with God, and that's sort of scary to me, and so I want to make sure that I'm getting submission right. Let me show you the passages on submission for everybody first. So the first group that needs to submit is everybody. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and notice verse 20 and 21. And I'll read it. Ephesians 5, 20 and 21. Here we go. Giving thanks for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 21 says, submitting to who? Yes, submitting to one another in the fear of, underline that, in the fear of who? God. That's the first one. Remember, every time we look at a passage that talks about submission, I'm going to assure you, you're going to see God, the Lord, Christ, or something close to that. So we should submit to one another. We should be humble. We should be under the rule of each other, listening to what each other has to say in our respective roles, because we fear God. If we don't submit to one another, it's because we don't fear God. Now, look at another one. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. First Peter chapter 5, and notice verse 5. Sometimes what happens in discussion on submission, and maybe you've heard this before, maybe from the youth standpoint. Okay, Obey your parents. You need to do what they say. That's what you should do. Or sometimes when we talk about marriage, and we'll talk about that in a moment, it comes across like, man, I don't want to do that. Or people say, we'll get to it later, but the Bible's hard on women. So if I get married, I'm supposed to submit to some guy, and that's not fair. Why do they get to be in charge? And people forget all about the God aspect in submission, that it's not really about people. It's ultimately about submitting because God is right, and in his own wisdom, God has set up things a certain way and given people certain responsibilities. But appreciate that everybody submits. This isn't a woman thing or a man thing or, you know, I have to submit now because I'm 13. But when I'm 20, I'm not listening to anybody. You and I will submit for the rest of our existence, not just our lives, but even into eternity. When life is over here and we transition, we'll always be submitting. So we got to get a good handle on this. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. And then what's next? At all of you, what? Read it for us.
All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble.
Two things. All of you be in submission, and then you see it again in verse 5. God resists the proud. Every time you see submission, underline, submit, be subject, and then look for who? God. Let's do this together. Every time you see submission, then you look for who? God. Look for God in the text because that's what's undergirding my submission. I don't really like listening to people that much either. But I just, that's part of life. I have to. There are elders over me where I preach. Before I became a preacher, I worked at Taco Bell. That was fun. Yeah. That's where I met my wife. Yeah, somebody said, y'all fell in love over a taco. Well, that's kind of true. I had a boss there, one of the meanest guys I've ever met in my life. But I had to do what he said if I wanted to be employed there. And I used to think, man, one day I'm going to quit this job and leave. And I did. But I'm still listening to people. You just can't get over that. Sometimes you might think, maybe you've thought this. I don't like what my parents, their rules, they're too strict and all. And maybe you're going to get from out of that one day. You're going to go to college or something. But guess what's going to happen? Guess what's going to be waiting for you at the next? People say things like, one of my brothers used to say, I don't want to work for anybody. I want to own my own business. You know why he wanted to own his own business? He wanted to be a boss, and he thought, well, I won't have to listen to anybody. Well, number one, he doesn't own his own business. But number two, even if you own your own business, guess what's going to happen? You're going to listen to somebody. Somebody's going to say, hey, these are the regulations. If you own this company, you just can't get from underneath this idea that you need to submit. You know why people don't submit? We didn't have this on the list. I think we did. Maybe ego. Look at verse 5 again. He says, submit to one another, you submit, youngers to the older, submit to one another, be clothed with humility. And then for God does what with the proud? This is, God actually does battle with prideful people. You say, I'm arrogant. I think I know everything. I'm too smart for this class. I know all this stuff. God actually does battle with the proud. One preacher said one time, your arms are too short to box with God. That's true, right? God actually does battle. God resists proud people, but he gives grace to the humble. Then verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due time. Listen, people struggle with submission because they're proud, and God will humble you. You might be 17, 18, 30 and think, well, I'm just in control. I can do whatever I want. God will bring you low because that's what he can do. So the first place where we see submission is this is an everybody thing. All right. Second place we see submission is in the home. There is submission in the home. Go to Psalm 127 and verse 1. Psalm 127 verse 1. And really, this whole psalm is about the family, but I just want to key in on verse 1 because of what it tells us about God and how he built the home. Except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early and sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. God gives his beloved sleep. And then verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb his reward. As arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Verse 1 says, unless God builds your house, you do what? What is it? Except the Lord build the house, what? All right, in vain. Yeah. What does that mean? Put that in regular terms for me. Except the Lord build the house, you labor in vain. What does that mean?
It means it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Anybody else? You labor in vain. What would you say? Somebody says, hey, don't study for this math test. It's in vain. What does that mean?
It would be useless to study.
Useless to study. It's a waste of what?
Time.
It's a waste of time. If God doesn't build your house, you waste your time. So God's given us some structure in the Bible on how the home ought to be. And if we don't use that as our template for how we're going to run our lives and live, we're wasting our time. Anybody like wasting time? You put all your time and effort into something. You stay up till midnight. You study for a test. You walk in. The teacher says, no, it's going to be next week. Right? You do all this practice, you're practicing, you want to make the basketball team, you sweat it out, you do all this stuff, and they're like, oh no, we're not doing it this year. Our school is not having a team this year. It's a waste of time. Except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so God has said, nobody in the earth is smart enough to run the human family without me. I'm going to give everybody roles and tell everybody what they ought to do, and you need to follow this template. And so in Ephesians 5, go back to Ephesians 5, because this sort of runs together. Ephesians 5, and notice what starts after verse 21. Submit yourselves to one another. Everybody does this in a collective fashion. And we evidence our submission for each other by fulfilling our roles, the roles that God has given us. Okay, so Ephesians 5, and notice after verse 21, what's in verse 22? What do you see in verse 22? Tell me two things you see. We've already talked about them. Verse 22. First thing you see is what? The command to do what?
To submit.
And then what do you see?
As to
God, there again. Submit the Lord. Submit the Lord. Submit to your husbands as the Lord wants you to do it. Why do wives need to obey their husbands? Is that because husbands are smarter?
No.
You think so? Some, the women are like, the girls are like, no, not, no way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so God put man over the head of the house because of some things that Eve did in Genesis 3. Yeah, we were talking to my daughter about this, my daughter 6, and so she's sort of starting getting these concepts down, and she'll just say things now, like if something happens and my wife will be about to say something, she'll say, you can't say that. Dad's in charge of this house and stuff like that. But anyway, yeah, submission. The wife needs to submit to the husband. You know, people struggle with this. They say, the Bible is a man-made book. This is a domineering. If you're a woman, the Bible's against you. You shouldn't like the Bible because it's telling you that if you get married, you've got to do what some man says. Does Ephesians 5:22 make husbands the boss in everything? Do they just get to do what they want? That's what I just read, though. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Look at this other verse here in Ephesians 5. Where is it? Ephesians 5, yeah, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, we talked about that, so let the wives be to their husbands and what? At the end of verse 24, though, wives should be subject or submissive to their husbands and what? Isn't he the boss then? Doesn't he get to, like, you don't get to eat Taco Bell, it's McDonald's tonight. Doesn't he get to dictate everything? Is that right? What do you think? Yes, no? What does verse 25 say? All right, so here we are. We're in verse 24 again. Subjection, and then you see Christ. And then he says, hey, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. So there is submission. But listen, if the husband loves like he should, then this isn't submitting to some sort of domineering dictator that's telling you everything to do. This is a loving relationship, and husbands have a responsibility too. 1 Peter 3:7 says, give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, that your prayers be not hindered. So when a man mistreats his wife, God won't listen to his prayers. And he might be praying about stuff and not realizing why his prayers aren't being answered. But Peter says one of the things may be, you haven't respected and honored your wife as being heirs together of the grace of life. Okay, so there are grown-ups that need to submit. You have wives that need to submit here. And if you just keep reading down through this chapter, then you get to Ephesians chapter 6. And notice Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. All right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with you and that you might live long on the earth. And then in verse 4, he has something to say to fathers. All right, who do children need to submit to? Anybody in here got parents? Show of hands. Well, that's unanimous, yeah. Everybody like what their parents has to say all the time? Anybody ever disagree with their parents? Show of hands on that. Anybody ever disagree? Say, I want to do it my way. Yeah, okay. So how do you put that together with Ephesians 6? You disagree. Who's smarter, right? You or your parents? Somebody says, it depends. If it's about a computer, then it's me probably, right? Yeah. You know why God gave you parents? You know why God gave me parents? You ever see any babies just walk out of the hospital, just plop out, take their bottle and their little scully they put on their heads and their little burp cloth and just go? You need them. See, we think, well, I'm just smart enough now. I can do my own thing. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. But look at Ephesians 6 again. I want to show you a few things. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's the first part of this commandment. But then notice the second part. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? What's the first reason we should obey? It's right. Obey, that would be submission. You see that? Ephesians 6, 1, submission. And then what should you be looking for right after submission? Every time you read submission in the Bible, look for who? Children, obey your parents where? There he is again. For this is right. You know, you should do what your mom and dad say because it's the right thing to do. Now, there are consequences, and there should be. There's discipline, and that's good too. But above all of that, you know why you should do what your mom and dad say? When they say, hey, phone's up at this time. Or, hey, go do that. You shouldn't. I know none of you have never done this. You're all perfect kids. You don't suck your teeth and stuff, right? You don't do that, right? You don't ever roll your eyes when your mom says, or like you're in the other room and you're having this little private conversation. They call you, hire me. Why do they, you know, you don't do stuff like that, right? Because it's right to do this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Question, can you think of anybody in the Bible who was ever told by their parents, hey, do this, and they didn't do it, and it turned out bad for them? Give me some people. Can you think of anybody who thought they were smarter than their parents, and it turned out pretty terrible for them? I've got one person in mind. I've got two. The prodigal son, right? You know what the prodigal son wanted to do? Leave. What else? He wanted his inheritance. Put it in two words. He wanted to have fun. He wanted to have fun. What was his? Yeah, that's good too. What was his? That's three. Yeah, but we'll take it. It wasn't his either, by the way. But anyway, okay. He wanted to have fun. Anything wrong with fun? Who gets to define fun? You think your parents ever try to stop your fun? You think so sometimes? Not intentionally. It's just accidental, right? It just happens that I want to go somewhere on Wednesday night and they want to go to Bible class. What an accident. Yeah, not intentionally. You know, he just wanted to have fun. He couldn't see himself. He couldn't see himself coming back malnourished, smelling like pig, barefoot, willing to be a servant. He couldn't see that far. His dad could. And when he went to his dad and said, give me the portion of goods that falls to me, his dad said, here it is, you can have it. He went into the far country with all those friends, spent his money in what the King James says is riotous or just worldly living, just having a good time. In Palestine, taking selfies, you know, just doing his thing. And before long, he's out of money, he's out of friends, and he's a beggar. And he has to come home. But like always, right, parents receive you back. Now, friends, they're not like that, but parents will receive you back. So you got the prodigal son. He's one. Anybody else didn't do what mom or dad said? It turned out bad for him. I was thinking Samson. So I said I had two. That's one. You stole one. Yeah, Samson. Judges 14, Samson says, get me this girl. I want to marry her. His parents say, can't you find a girl among your own family? Listen, Samson couldn't see himself. And captured by the Philistines without his eyes, without his hair, and dying as he does this victorious thing near the end. But he couldn't see all of that. Delilah and all the things that he would go through, but he just knew better. Mom says, hey, you shouldn't date him. He's not a Christian. Or you shouldn't talk. What do you know? Listen, he's a good person. She's a good person. You don't know what you're talking about. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right thing. Anybody else didn't care about what mom or dad said in the Bible, and it turned out bad for them? I'm thinking Absalom, number two. So one and two stole them. Yeah, that's right. Absalom. Absalom wanted to do his own thing. Absalom was rebellious, handsome guy, we're told, right? Absalom was a pretty good guy, killed his brother, ran his dad out of town. He couldn't see himself strung up in that tree by his hair and pierced in the side with that spear from David's soldiers. But he just thought he knew better. He thought he knew better. I've got friends right now. And I know this is never going to be none of you, but I'm just going to tell you that I've got friends right now that I write periodically who are in jail, in prison, people I grew up with. They just were smarter than their parents. I've got a younger brother, had a younger brother. My brother was killed at 22 years old in Hollywood, Florida. He just knew better. And submission and rules, and it was just always, and all of that wasn't his fault, and we don't know all of what happened, but it was just from the time I could, earliest time I can remember, he just didn't like to be told what to do. And whenever somebody tried to tell him, there would just be this big, listen, the Bible tells us to submit, not because God is in heaven trying to rob us of our fun, but because God has put divine barricades around us to help us to live the best life that we could. Okay. Sometimes fun, I would say a lot of times, fun is the disguise for sin. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, the devil has a good way of putting costume jewelry on sin and making people believe that it's going to be fun. You know, the Bible actually calls sin fun. In Hebrews 11, 25, it says, Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So sin is fun, but the fun won't last, right? And that's what the Bible teaches. Don't buy into it because it won't last. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's right. That's the first thing. But what's the second thing? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is what?
The first commandment.
You should do it because it's right. And what's the second reason you should do it? It's the first what?
Commandment.
What promise? What's promised to people that do this? Anybody want to live a long time? You do? Good. Yeah, I know some people that don't, but good. Yeah, some people are afraid to get old. They're like, it's going to be hard, man. But anyway, yeah. So you want to live a long time. What should you do? Now, in the Old Testament, if you disobeyed your parents, do you know what could happen to you? Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. You know what happened to people that disobeyed their parents under the old law? Yeah, they played dodgeball with rocks, but there was no dodging. Yeah. They just threw rocks at you until you died. Yeah. And your parents, by the way, were the first ones. They said, if you have a rebellious son, you bring him out before the community, and mom and dad, you're the first one to hurl stones. If I would have lived under the old law, I would have been dead, like when I was 13 or something. Yeah. You wouldn't live long under the old law if you disobeyed your parents, because it's a capital offense to disobey mom and dad. So what does that have to do with now, New Testament? There's no capital punishment, per se, for disobeying parents. So how is this you live long on the earth? You know anybody who's disobeyed their parents that's still alive? Yeah? Somebody says, me? Well, that's good. Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, what about people that are like, aren't there people in their 50s and 60s who've just pushed aside what Paul has said? So is Paul right that it might be well with you? Could you make the case to Paul that, listen, I can disobey my parents and still live a long time? What does this mean that it might be well with you and you'll live long on the earth? You won't be capitally punished, so what will happen?
When you die, you'll go to heaven.
Okay, so this could have some eternal significance, people that die and go to heaven because they do what they're told. All right, anything else that it might be well with you? That's right. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a capital offense for you to lose your life at a young age. Anybody ever, parents say, don't drink. You shouldn't drink. Anybody ever hear that? Stay away from alcohol. Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whoever is deceived by it isn't wise. And somebody goes out one night and they get drunk and they get behind the wheel of a car and they end up in a deadly accident. Now, somebody would say, why did they die? That's what people would say, but you know what the Bible would say? Somebody didn't listen to mom and dad and what they said, right? Somebody says, don't hang out with those friends, they're going to get you in trouble, and then life ends up cut short because of disobedience. People would look at the action and say, that's what caused them to be in this circumstance. The Bible would say, it's because they didn't listen to their parents, all right? And so we need to obey because it's right. Honor father and mother. It's the first commandment with the promise attached. Go to Colossians 3, this same idea. How much time is left, by the way? 5 minutes. Wow, man. So much for that hour, I promised you guys. Yeah. All right, Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents, why? In what? Colossians 3, 20. Children, obey your parents in what? Why? Nobody that's a Christian is on bad terms with their parents and on good terms with God. Okay, so people might think that, well, listen, me and my mom, we got in a fight on our way to worship. And she was saying some stuff, and I just got mad. She told me I couldn't wear this, and I really wanted to. And I'm going to go into the Lord's house, and I'm going to sing some songs. I'm going to take part in the Lord's Supper. You're not going to do it and please God. I mean, you can go through it and do all of that, but you wouldn't be pleasing God, because what's well-pleasing to God, so far as they're telling you what to do biblically and they're not leading you astray, if somebody's in a non-Christian home, they shouldn't compromise their faith, obviously. But if what your parents is telling you is in line with the scriptures and you disobey them, you are always immediately on bad terms with God until you get that fixed. Your mom and dad say don't do something. They don't have to know about it. You sneak behind them. You say, well, I'm not going to submit to them. I'm just going to do my own thing. You're always on bad terms with God. And it's the same thing with husbands and wives. A wife that doesn't submit to her husband couldn't be on good terms with the Lord. And a husband who doesn't love his wife. This is all linked back to the Lord. Every time we read about submission, we read about our relationship to God. And that's why this is important, because I want to be on good terms with God. And so even when there are people put over me who I really think, man, I could do it better than them. Man, they're not really that smart. In fact, they're being unjust to me. They're treating me wrong. I still have to submit because I want to be pleasing to God. All right, I think I can do quickly two more, but I don't know. Let's see. You said 5 minutes. That's probably four now. Is that right? Somebody says, yeah, we want to go. All right. All right. Let me do these quick. Romans 13 and then Hebrews 13. All right. And then we'll quit. How about that? All right, Romans 13, notice verse 1 down through verse 7. I want to show you this, and maybe we'll go to 1 Peter. Let's see how fast we can move, though. Romans 13, beginning in verse 1. You ready? Everybody there for the most part? All right. Let every soul be subject. I want you to keep count of how many times God is mentioned, okay? Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject or be submissive to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. How many is that? One. Okay, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever, therefore, resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. All right, drop down to verse 4. This person, this government official, he is the minister of God to do good, right? But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he that bears not the sword, he bears not the sword in vain. He is the minister of who? How many is that? Now look at verse 6. For this cause pay taxes, for they are God's ministers. How many is that? Six times in six verses, Paul's saying, listen, they're government officials, people that are in control, do what they say, they work for God. You say, I don't like that president. I don't like that police officer. I don't like this person that's in charge. Paul said, I didn't ask you that. I'm just telling you, God put them in charge. You need to do what they say. Look at 1 Peter 2, and then we'll finish with Hebrews 13. Y'all have really been good. I appreciate the participation. It's made my job easier. And I've enjoyed it. 1 Peter 2, notice verse 13, okay? Same thing. Notice how many times God is mentioned in these verses, God or the Lord. Verse 13, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That's one. Verse 15, for so it is the will of God that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Verse 16, you do this as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. And then in verse 17, fear God. Over and over again, listen to what people say that are in control. Obey the rulers and the authorities because you want to please God. And so government officials need to be obeyed. And I would add to government officials, but I don't have the time. This would include, at least in my mind, to a certain degree, school teachers and people that have positions of authority over me as an individual and their passages about our employers and submitting to them and doing what they tell us to do and that sort of thing. And then the last thing is we need to submit in the church. God has put elders over local congregations where they're qualified men, and where that's not the case, a church is obviously working toward that. But in Hebrews 13, 17, we're told, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as those that must give an account, that they might do so with joy and not with grief, because that would be unprofitable for you. In local congregations, there are elderships, and they sometimes have things that they want the youth to do and different things that are, you know, set aside for the local congregation to help you grow spiritually, things like Focal Point. And we should try to submit to them and do what they would have us to do because we want to please and honor our God. Anybody have any questions about submission? Anybody learn anything today? Yeah, I hope you did. I learned some stuff. I've been encouraged by y'all participation. Hope y'all been having a good week. My first time to Texas. It's been pretty fun. And this has made it better. So thanks for paying attention today. Thanks for a good time in class today.